Hi, you're listening to KTOO. I'm Clarice Larson. After nearly a decade, the U.S. Forest Service has finalized its plans to overhaul Juneau's Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area. Over the years, the project has provoked hundreds, if not thousands, of public comments from the Juneau community. Alexandra Pierce is the city's tourism manager. She says the plan both addresses residents' concerns and the tourism industry.
I like to see a plan that's well-managed and that listens to resident concerns. People didn't want to see motorized boats on the lake and additional visitor center facilities, and the Forest Service listens to the public on that, which is a positive thing.
The glacier is one of Alaska's most visited tourism attractions. Forest Service officials say the improvements will help manage the pressure from Juneau's rapid growth in cruise ship tourism in recent years. The final plan includes a new welcome center and improvements to the old one. It also increases parking, expands trail systems, and adds an amphitheater. When the visitor center was built in the 1960s, the area saw about 23,000 visitors annually. That number has since grown to about 700,000 today. But as more and more visitors have been coming to the glacier has been moving farther away, a process that's been accelerated due to climate change. In a few decades, it likely won't be visible from the visitor center at all. Suggestions for dealing with that included building the new center close to the glacier and allowing motorboats on the lake. Neither made it into the final plan. Pierce says that listening to residents' concerns about overcrowding while knowing that tourism will keep growing makes managing the area a constant balancing act.
I do think that's a difficult puzzle for the Forest Service to try to solve. I think we're all concerned about the receding glacier and what that means for the visitor experience in our community.
According to Tongass National Forest Supervisor Frank Sherman, rather than making drastic changes to get people closer to the glacier, the Forest Service opted to address more pressing needs like overcrowding, restrooms, and the aging visitor center. Landslides are almost impossible to forecast precisely, but scientists say more data could help. At the site of last month's deadly Wrangell slide, it starts with the installation of additional weather stations and a new survey of the island's elevation. KTOO, Anna Canny reports.
I do think that's a difficult puzzle for the Forest Service.
The Wrangell landslide happened in an instant. Somewhere high on a slope above Zamovia Highway, the earth shifted, and that triggered a river of mud that fanned out and ran down the hill for nearly 4,000 feet, crossing the beach and spilling into the ocean. People living on the hillside had little warning, just the sound of the slide coming their way. It buried two houses, leaving five people dead, and one still missing. According to state geologist Barrett Salisbury with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, it's extremely challenging to detect disasters like this before they happen.
We're always going to be surprised by a landslide event. We could give you an estimate of where we think the hot spots for future activity could be, would be, but there's no guarantee, and it's pretty unlikely that we would get all those spot on.
One thing is guaranteed. Across the steep mountain slopes of Southeast Alaska, those hot spots are everywhere. And human-caused climate change could trigger even more slides in the future. Landslides are incredibly complex. Each one is shaped by the unique geology, hydrology, and vegetation on a given slope. That's the biggest reason why they're so hard to predict. But scientists like state geologist Gabriel Wolken say that Southeast also severely lacks the kinds of monitoring that could make people safer.
We have, you know, this broad understanding of the different ingredients that come into play to aid the development of a landslide, but we still lack data.
The ingredients are the basic when and where of slides. The when is most often shaped by heavy rain. All the deadly slides over the last decade, in Wrangell, Haines, and Sitka, all happened during strong rainstorms. On steep terrain, the earth is always resisting the pull of gravity. If there's enough rainfall all at once, the soil can become saturated, and the solid earth transforms into a heavy slurry of water, mud, and other debris.
Trees, shrubs, homes, cars, anything in the way becomes a part of this debris flow.
It's incredibly difficult to figure out a threshold where there's enough rain to create landslide conditions, and the scarcity of weather stations makes it impossible. For most Southeast communities, the most complete and official weather data is collected at airports, which are on flat ground close to sea level. But the mix of ocean and steep mountains in the region causes weather to behave very differently across even small distances.
There could have been a cloud literally was denser 10 miles away from town and it rained more, or high winds were focused because of the shape of the mountains and the channels there to trigger that landslide, but we don't know.
To remedy this problem, the Alaska Department of Transportation will install two new weather stations in Wrangell, one at the base of the slope and one near the ridge. That data may help scientists narrow down the when, at least. The where is much harder. But Walken says history is a good rule of thumb.
There is this repetition on the landscape where one landslide has occurred in the past. There is then the possibility that landslides tend to occur in the same places.
Residents across Wrangell Island have stories of smaller slides that have left piles of dirt in their own backyards. More overgrown slide scars can be spotted from planes or boats. And the November slide created new hotspots, including several smaller slides that broke off from the main path and stopped just short of houses. All of those paths are prone to slide again. Aerial surveys of Wrangell Island from before and after the November storm will be used to build models of the island's elevation. Scientists can use those models to find potentially unstable slopes. Walken says that's a good starting place, and working to collect more data on landslide conditions is especially important as warming driven by the burning of fossil fuels makes Southeast even more slide prone.
Particularly with increases in heavy rain, snowfall, and rapid temperature changes, and in particular intense precipitation as we've seen be linked to some of these landslides.
Scientists will never be able to pinpoint the next disaster, but after the deadly 2015 slide in Sitka, researchers started to develop a risk-based warning system, founded in large part on rainfall data and records of past slides. Many Southeast communities, like Wrangell, are looking to that as an example of how they could monitor their slopes in the future. The effort to collect more data is just a small step in that direction. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Anchorage's homelessness experts and political leaders are pushing a new approach to getting people out of shelters and into long-term housing this spring. They want to lease units from whoever has vacancies in Anchorage at market rates. The coalition's executive director, Meg Zalatel, made the pitch, which is modeled after Houston, Texas. Houston has dramatically reduced homelessness. Zalatel is also vice chair of the Anchorage Assembly and says the goal is to house 150 people who are now in the city's emergency winter shelter by the time the shelter closes at the end of April. The coalition estimates that for about $85 per day per person, they can fully cover rent and utilities for a year for a one-bedroom apartment, plus case managers making weekly visits and one-time costs. By comparison, feeding and sheltering a single adult in the city's three main winter shelters costs more. The coalition is calling the effort the Next Step pilot program and is asking the assembly to pitch in $1.5 million from the city's alcohol tax revenue to supplement funds already secured for the program. Mayor Dave Bronson and assembly leaders are on board. A resolution to fund the Next Step pilot is up for assembly vote tomorrow. Governor Mike Dunleavy has allocated $5 million to the city and borough of Wrangell to help stabilize the two earthen dams that contain the town's drinking water. Wrangell's Public Works Director Tom Wader says that when the governor came to Wrangell to talk about the landslide, they also talked about other health and safety issues. The dams are the first major issue to conquer.
The Wrangell landslide.
We were the number two high hazard dam in the state. I believe we are number one now because I think the worst one got fixed last year.
The reservoirs were constructed in 1905 and contains Wrangell's only source of drinking water. An Army Corps of Engineers study from 2006 reported that 15 homes close to 40 residents were in the reservoir's potential runout zone. This means that the possible loss of life is high if the dam breaks. Wader says that the stability analysis the borough commissioned last fall resulted in better news than officials were expecting, meaning there's an easier path to stabilization. He says that $5 million may not cover all the pressing projects needed in and around the community's reservoir.
We need to get a dam bypass. We need to stabilize our dams. We need to fix the through piping. Those are kind of like our, you know, top three needs up there.
Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski appropriated a little over $2 million for that dam bypass project last year. The project will connect the upper reservoir directly to Wrangell's water plants.